Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, so this is a really fun episode because, well, for the Tree Hillers. For everybody, but
it's like, you know, so many of your fans and following are Tree Hillers, and they're loyal, so they're always wanting to hear from former castmates from the show. And we have two awesome, awesome guys today.
Yeah, we're going to have James Lafferty and Stephen Colletti coming on the show because they've got a new show on Hulu right now. Everyone's doing great. It's a really, really good show. So I'm excited to talk to those dudes. But how are you feeling? Because we're about to go to Canada this week.
We are. I'm excited. I'm excited for the change. I'm excited for, as weird as this sounds, it's kind of a sense of normalcy, right? Because we're used to traveling. We're used to like going places and doing things. So, and Jace has become such, I mean, the kids both, but Jace really is a homebody because he's not used to traveling.
Yeah, we go anywhere and 2 seconds out, he's like, home?
Home. Yeah, 30 minutes tops. And he's like, home? So it'll be good for him to change things up because once, you know, traveling is a little bit more back to normal and we're traveling more, we always try to take the kids when we can if we're gone for a decent period of time. So we want him to get used to that, like Jolie is.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, like, yes. I just wish that there wasn't the quarantine period because it just adds, because we have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, honestly, that's not the part that's giving me anxiety because, I mean, we pretty much are quarantined here anyways. I mean, we don't go anywhere.
Right.
Minus, like, the grocery store here or there or, like, Jolie's, you know. I mean, we go a few places, but it's not maybe out to dinner once every 2 weeks. But I don't know. It's not like it's going to totally change. But I think just having to be being told that you can't do something is what gives me anxiety. So it's like you have to stay in this house for 2 weeks and you can't leave. Like automatically I'm like, boom, anxiety. Because I'm like, well, what if this happens? What if, like, we don't even have a car? Like, what if something happens with the kids? Like, hello, emergencies in the middle of the night, you know? So I'm just starting to like freak out about that. So I just actually emailed production because I was like, guys, if there is something that happens in the middle of the night, like I'm not going to be able to sleep knowing just in case something happened.
No, for sure. I think they need to understand that with two kids, like I don't care if they have a doctor on call. Like if we have to go, we have to go. So just to be able to have a car there accessible and, you know, we're adults, we're professionals. We're not going to go anywhere if they say don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to jeopardize the production or the movie that you're doing to be selfish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just, I don't know. I don't know why I have so much anxiety around it. And you know, kind of like we said, it's not our space. But at least it's better than what some, I know some people are, they have to quarantine in their hotel room. And for 2 weeks, I'm like, that I for sure, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I would lose my mind. I mean, that's like being in a jail.
I mean, even
minus
me.
Minus the fluffy mattress.
Right. Even me, who, you know, loves to, I can't contain his excitement. And he's dropping her off, like singing, pulling out her luggage and everything. He's like, all right, have the most wonderful time. And she's like, no, put my bags back in the car. I'm not going anywhere. You're too damn happy. Let's go home. And then on the way home, he's just miserable. And then he talked about it at lunch with his buddies like the next day. They're like, you're too happy. You got to contain it. Everyone knows you got to contain it.
It's
you
like, oh, I'm going to miss you. When really you're like high-fiving yourself inside.
It was pretty funny.
That is funny. Huh.
Yeah, but we're going to be together. It's going to be great.
No, the fact that we're going to be together, I mean, because I couldn't leave without my kiddos and family. So I'm super excited. So yeah, we're heading off to Canada this week, guys. From here on out, the episodes are going to be recorded in Canada, eh?
They're all going to be in French. That'd be awesome.
Do they speak French in Vancouver? I thought that was more Quebec where we went last time.
Yeah, it's more the eastern side of Canada. But still, that was, you know, a lot of that was French territory in general. So I still think there's more French. I guess there's more French than there's like Spanish.
Oui, oui.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Did anyone get my one brick wines? If you didn't, get them now.
Why don't you update us? How's that going?
It's going really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. We have a red blend, very inexpensive, low sugar, low in sulfates. I'm excited.
Good. The sales are good?
Sales are doing good.
Because I've been nervous.
People are liking it, so that's what's exciting about it.
That is awesome. Because mm-hmm. it's fantastic. It's so good. It's fantastic.
Well, we have like the best winemaker too from Napa that did the helped create the wine with me. So
I've been,
and the fact that it's low sugar makes me super happy.
But I'm excited for you that it's doing well, because this was like your baby. This was, out of all the things that you're doing, I know you really want this to, take off and be sustainable, because it's something that you're so passionate about.
I do like my wine.
You do. So.
And Michael is working on his hat business, y'all. It's going to be good. It's going to be excited. We're going to, it's just, we love you guys. That's all. So we just thank you for your support.
Yeah. So before we get James and Steven on, is it feel like kind of like a, when you're on a show like that, does it almost feel like a high school reunion? Not that regardless of that it was based in high school, but, it feels like you're seeing these friends from a long time ago. It has that sense of like a high school reunion.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I was definitely closest to Steven, obviously, because I did all my scenes with Steven. Mm-hmm. I had very few scenes with James. So, and like when I was on the show, it was, there was just some, not cattiness, but just like, you can't talk to this person if you're friends with this person. And so it just became like a, so I wasn't very close to James because of certain situations on the set at the time. But mm-hmm. now, I mean, everyone's really close, and it's kind of frustrating because I'm like, why couldn't we have all been friends then? And you made like the newbie's life a little bit of hell, but it's cool.
Oh, right. Because you couldn't make up your mind for yourself, because you, as soon as you got in there, whoever you stuck with, you had to stick with.
Yeah.
Mm.
But now it's like annoying because they're like, we're all friends now. And I'm just like, one person literally made it hell for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we chose the wrong friend, we would be destroyed. So, now it's like, yeah.
Well, now everyone's adults.
True. But that's very true. Yeah. So.
Which makes you just laugh at those things when you think about your anyone's past in general, right? The cattiness or the clickiness of things in high school in that age and young 20s. You're like, why? You're like, why can't I have the knowledge I have today and be like, you're an idiot for thinking that, and I'm going to talk to whoever I want to.
No, it's so true. Me, Chantel, and Rob came on season 7. So it's like they'd already had 6 years to form these
hatreds
and connections and, all these things. So it's like we're just coming in like dipping our toes in like, I don't want to make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
But
I get that.
It's nice. Like, now that I've been able to spend more time with James on like conventions and, just being able to, hang out, and it's, they're awesome. But yeah, Steven and I are like, we're like kin,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think what's cool too, and I mean, just from the one convention I went with you two last year, and then also meeting Chantel and meeting these guys and a bunch of people on the cast, everyone was just so nice. Mm-hmm. Like everyone was really approachable, friendly, reciprocated in the conversation and in questions and everything. It wasn't just one-sided in anything when I was meeting any of these people. So that just goes to show the kind of some of the character of the people that I've met that you were able to work with.
Yeah.
So, and James and Steven are definitely two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a break and get them on.
Yay. All right, Tree Hillers, you've waited long enough. So excited because James Lafferty and Steven Coletti are going to be on the show today. So I remember they were working on Everyone is Doing Great.
Yeah, and last time we talked to both of them was almost a year ago. It was last February.
Yeah,
One Tree Hill Convention.
Yeah. So I'm just so proud of them because the Everyone's Doing Great got picked up by Hulu. And, I have a little piece of that world with like pitching show. I mean, me and Brianne, who was on the show about the first of the year about Love Addict. So we had a show we were working on. It is hard to pitch a show. I mean, we went to HBO, we went to Hulu, we went to Amazon. Like, you go in there and it's just like, then they'll give you notes, but then this other network wants something else. So, I mean, it is so incredibly hard. I think I was reading something about the Queen's Gambit. That was passed on like for 10 years or something crazy like that. So, I mean, it's, and then there was another show too. And I know that's not the right amount of time, but it was something where it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Even the Stranger Things, that was passed on a million times. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have a show picked up on a network nowadays is so hard. And I'm so proud of them because these dudes are, they're great guys. I mean, I was obviously closer with Steven filming mm-hmm. because he was my scene partner.
Right.
I didn't do much with James, but I love both of them. I'm so proud of them. And James just got engaged, which is awesome, to a beautiful girl, she's an actress. And then Steven, I believe he's still kicking it, man.
Just living the single life.
But we have some questions that came in from our Instagram to ask them. So did you see any on?
Yeah, there's definitely some on here that are sticking out to me. So as we're talking to them, I'll pepper these in there.
Anything about Kristen? Gavallari?
Yeah, there is one about, you know, Steven being pictured with Kristen at dinner recently mm-hmm. or whatever. And, you know, I think he already addressed that and said they're just good friends.
Yeah.
But no, there's a bunch on here and it's so funny. I mean, people love the Tree Hillers, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think too, James had, I don't want to make this up, but I'm pretty sure James had a tough time coming off of One Tree Hill because he was so typecasted. Because I can imagine you being on a show like that long mm-hmm. and being super typecasted.
Yeah, and I've always been someone on the outside of the industry. I've always wondered that. It's like some of these shows that do so well, especially if it's like your big break, you know, later down the road, does that plague you? You know, does that hurt you in a sense? You know?
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, our buddy Bob Saget. Oh, Bob. It's like you kind of just have to embrace it after a while. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm Danny Tanner. But then again, you know, and I know Uncle Jesse wanted to do the farthest thing from Uncle Jesse, but then they did a reunion and they filmed again because Fuller House, because people love it. Like people yeah. love to see that character. So it's kind of like, all right, you just have to embrace it a little bit. But okay. I'm so excited because when I saw, I think it was, I was stalking your page, James, sorry, Steven, but James posts a little bit more, but I saw that, you know, Everyone Is Doing Great was picked up on Hulu. And I literally out loud was like, oh my God, yes. Like I was so excited for you guys because I know it's been a work in progress and it's been, I mean, how many years has it been now that you've been working on it?
Four.
Damn, four.
Wow.
I think, yeah. I think it's coming up on four, like next month, I think, since we shot. So I think we shot the pilot in April of 2017.
And then we got together because you guys were doing more of a, you were raising more money for it, right? To shoot the, some episodes of it. Is that what that was?
Yeah, we did the crowdfunding for additional episodes. And you were kind enough to come in and do one of our live watches, which those were very popular for us. It was
huge.
An instrumental part of our campaign, and it was nice to get that, you know, the One Tree Hill community on board and you know, have you guys come out and help us out and do those live watches. Like, it was fun. I mean, we don't get to see each other too often, so it was nice to have an excuse to get together.
Yeah, no, it was definitely fun. I'm curious though, because in those 4 years, was there ever kind of like that, should we just stop? Like, is this, you know, we're pitching it, we're trying to do this, we're not getting, or was it like, hey, no, we've got traction and this is all good? Or did you ever have that moment where you're like, this isn't going to happen?
Yeah. I think that was the hardest part of it all. The work was amazing. And just getting to do what we love to do was incredible every step of the way. There were growing pains for sure. And there were a lot of challenges and things we had to learn along the way, but it always felt good because we were learning and because we did feel like we were towards something. But I do think the uncertainty of it all was the hardest part, of just really not knowing where this was headed. We never knew. We always wanted it to be on Hulu, but we never knew that we were going to get there. We always felt like we were a long shot at best. And in fact, you know, we were totally prepared to just self-distribute and see how that went, which is a much tougher road. So yeah, I mean, I think that there were never moments where we just wanted to throw our hands up and give up, but there were definitely moments where I won't speak for Steven, but at least for myself, it was like, okay, really doing here? Like, how is this going to end? Because it just sort of felt like it was going on and on with no real light at the end of the tunnel.
Steven, what about for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, we always had that plan of self-distribution. That was the, like, all right, the last plan. If we feel like we've you know, exhausted all options and we feel like we've gotten our fair shot, then we'll, you know, we'll self-distribute, which is, you know, which is fine. And again, it's still the accomplishment was really for us to get the money to shoot the thing. I mean, and there was points in that campaign where we were doing the Indiegogo campaign where I was like, oh man, like this is, we knew it was going to be a big task, but this is a lot bigger than we expected. And it was really, really hard. But you know, we're grateful for the people that jumped aboard to help us out and, you know, kind of propel us. But you know, you're asking money for 45 days. So, we can't do live watches for 45 days straight, although that would have been fun. We could have hung out a couple more times, but you know, there are those days where you're supposed to be kind of getting content there and driving it every day. And you're like, I already am not on social media that much. And now I'm on here every single day asking people for money. So you get a little overwhelmed. But again, the end goal there for the show was what continued to drive us. And then there were these moments along the way that like were so unexpected. And whether it's like, Janet, you coming in and doing the live watch and that being very lucrative for us, or being at some TV festival and James and I literally sitting in a lounge at one point frustrated because we can't get this video on YouTube, and just a couple of knuckleheads trying to, you know, trying to work the internet. And a woman had come up to us and had just seen the screening, and she just started talking to us casually. Thankfully we were nice to her, because then 10 minutes later she's like, let me see your campaign. And she wound up donating over $20,000 in that
moment.
Wow. And so it's just, you know, it's one of those things where the lesson I learned there is like, you know, the perseverance, like even when you feel down, you know, you got to continue to strive. And if you need to seek help, seek it, you know, get your friends, you know, be honest with yourself and your friends about, you know, where you might be or what you might need. And as long as you're kind of putting yourself out there and you're working hard, you know, things will happen. Maybe not like you expected, but still amazing things will happen.
Mm-hmm. With the timeline being, you know, the past 4 years working on this project, how much, if at all, has the concept around it changed? Like from day one of you guys, you know, having this idea and it being to what it is now?
I think the concept has stayed pretty pretty consistent. I mean, we always knew what kind of show we wanted it to be. We always knew we wanted it to feel dry. You know, in terms of its humor, we knew the humor was going to come from like those little moments when people don't know what to say to each other instead of delivering punchlines. Mm-hmm. We knew that we wanted it to feel raw and awkward, and sort of make you squirm a little bit. You know, that's the kind of humor that we're really drawn to. Those are the kind of shows that really inspired us to make this show. But I will say that like one thing that really, I guess, pleasantly surprised us and opened up the whole process for us was when we actually got to set and shooting that first season was, you know, that the actors that came in and really elevated the material. They took, you know, we gave them a lot of freedom to just do what they wanted with their characters, bring as much as of themselves to the character as they wanted to, because we felt like that would just make it feel that much more authentic and real. And man, every single actor that came in, whether it was like for, you know, a tiny little scene or a reoccurring role or, you know, our other leads, like they just took what they had and what was on the page and they elevated it to this other level that we just didn't even expect and was always so funny and so real. And it just breathed this life into the show that we were really grateful for, because, you know, we knew that a show just about, you know, Seth and Jeremy and Andrea, like any show that is only based on a few characters or where there's a few characters that feel real, it's going to have a limit to how many people it can reach, right? It's going to have the limit to how many people actually it actually resonates with. And so to be able to get in the editing room and just feel like we actually know these characters that we're cutting together and like these scenes that are coming to life in a way that we didn't anticipate was like, that was incredible. And that was kind of unexpected.
So I know what everyone is doing great is, but for the listeners, give us like the elevator pitch. Like, what is it about and what can they expect?
Yeah. So there's these three people, James and I's character and Alex Park's character, Andrea Davis, who were on this, you know, huge vampire drama. It was number one in the zeitgeist. I think, Vampire Diaries or True
Blood or something.
Sure. True Blood. What were the movies? Twilight. Twilight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Twilight. I forgot. just where everyone is obsessed and these faces are, you know, pictured everywhere and people know who they are. That's where they were on a show like that. And it's 5 years later. And you're just seeing them at home, kind of struggling to put life together, meet life head on as they are, entering their 30s and middle age, and things are not, not as smooth as they might have expected. And obviously coming from having it easy and feeling the world is at their fingertips early on in their life, now they're struggling. The wheels are just kind of spinning. So, these characters, what they're kind of having to lean on each other when they all don't really have business leaning on each other because of all that they're going through.
I love it.
Were you guys able to draw from any personal stories or situations from yourself or people that you knew to kind of bring into this material?
Yeah. That's kind of what inspired us in the first place was, getting into our 30s and just sort of realizing that blanket of invincibility that you feel in your 20s, it starts to kind of wear off and you realize that it was never actually there, right? Like don't know. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And the more scary the world gets. And that's something that we were sort of experiencing as we entered our 30s. And we were experiencing it against a backdrop of, this industry that is so incredibly uncertain and it's so absurd. Everywhere you look, there's just crazy things going on and hilarious things going on. And we just thought that there was a lot of comedy in that struggle. So, knowing that and sort of having those building blocks, we just wanted to create characters for ourselves and for this world that we could really map on to those situations and have them deal with them in really funny ways. At the end of the day, we just really wanted to make people laugh at the struggle that they may be going through. We feel like it's a healthy way to get through things is to try to laugh it off. And it was really about just like creating, characters that were close enough to ourselves that we felt we could really portray them and have it feel real and authentic, but at the same time, heighten certain aspects of our own personality, like take it further to one end of the character spectrum so that, when they do get in these situations, there's more sort of explosive things happening.
I love that because I feel like in your 30s is when you're just like total wake up call. You know what I mean? No,
it's like what James said. I like what he said, the cloak of invincibility. Because I think that he just probably summed up my 20s perfectly.
Right.
It's like I run around, whether it's burning the midnight oil or just, kind of not thinking too far ahead. Yeah, it's everything's kind of living more present and just the long-term consequences of things. Like it's just not there, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think we would love to have that, but it's the push and pull about getting into your 30s. It's like you take the experiences that you have had, and we talk about this in the show, and you should be applying that and hopefully be in a better headspace, right? Like, oh, I just survived my 20s basically. Mm-hmm. And now I'm ready to grow up and be an adult. But it's just not that smooth of a transition.
No,
and
I feel like when you hit your 30s, you're like, I have issues and I got to work through these because,
it's mental and physical too. Like I used to I could play sports all the time, but now like getting out of bed, you're like, oh man, I'm like, I played in this softball game yesterday and am I sore. It's like, dude, what's wrong with you?
I want to know some tea though. Did you guys ever argue or fight during this process? Like get annoyed with each other?
Did we go to blows? Never any fisticuffs.
No, never got physical. It got mentally physical.
Yeah, of course. We spent basically all of 2019 in an editing room together.
Oh my God.
Wow. I don't care who who you love the most planet, but spending the whole year in a room together.
That's marriage in quarantine. It's like when they breathe. That was our 2020. Stop breathing.
That was our last year. So
I know. Thankfully those are important moments for us. Cause I usually, when we're, having mental jiu-jitsu over something, it's something that, is going to be better off for it in the end. And, I think it'd be a real problem if we were just constantly agreeing with each other and everything was hunky dory, because we wouldn't really be honest,
For sure.
And what's partnership without that trust and honesty? So, nothing crazy, thankfully. But we, of course, when we are having a heated discussion over a particular scene or something, you know, we were better off for it in the end.
Who usually wins and who's usually right?
I gotta say it's probably a coin toss, but it's usually I think that it's usually whoever was right. Because what we'll do, usually what we'll do is we'll have this like heated discussion. We'll lock horns over something, and we'll sort of put it aside for a second until the end of the day, you know, just to get the work done, just to continue forward. And then towards the end of the day, we'll talk about it again. Oh no, we're still locking horns. And then we'll just sort of like leave it for a minute, and we'll go home. We'll go our separate ways. We'll get a good night's sleep.
I mean, y'all are in a marriage. This is a marriage.
Yeah, but in a marriage, I was about to say, I wish it ended up with the person who was right realizing that it was right. It doesn't really work that way in a marriage.
That's because men are, and James, you'll learn this, but like the women are 99.99999% right.
We're tired of fighting the battle. No. So we're like, you know what? Take it. Whatever.
There's some truth to that. If we really had any issues, we'd go to our producing team, or, you know, we go to Alex, who's another actress and producer on the show, and toss it by her, and we would get good insight there. So no,
we need a mediator.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, James, you and Alex are engaged, correct?
Yes.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so how long, I don't know when y'all got engaged, but how long in that process with you guys working together, like, did you guys get romantic or get engaged, and kind of how is that working together with someone you want to spend your life with?
I mean, listen, it's great. It's like, you know, it's akin to working with this. It's just, I think it's a sort of what we do here with this show. You know, it's like, Steven and I have known each other for a long time. I've known Alex since 2015, when I directed on her show, and that's how we got to know each other. And so, you know, she's been there since the beginning, since the very first episode of this show. And, you know, we had the pleasure of working with producers that I've worked with on three films before this. They were the ones who really, you know, they had all of this knowledge and how to get turn your little indie project into a reality. And they, you know, they were gracious enough to share that knowledge with us and take us to the promised land. So, you know, what I have with Alex is like, you know, I think about it the same way that I think about the rest of this sort of like film family that we formed. It's just like, it's the best of both worlds when you find, you know, people that you love personally that you can then love working with as well.
There's definitely a balance, though, I will say that, because I know working with Mike it can be hard because you're always together. So it's about finding that personal time for yourself too that is so needed on more his side, but
Of course, more on my side.
I think in our experience, it was like with Alex, it was like we needed to give her the space that she needed as well, because we were really like taking over this house with these computers, and like, you know, we're editing. We couldn't always wear headphones. We needed to hear it from the speakers. So, you know, she's trying to like live her life while we're just playing the same, you know, piece of dialogue on a loop like 75 times. Oh, and it's like, it's just,
and sometimes it could be her, you know.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's her, or sometimes it's Steven. Like, there's not to give too much away, but there's a line that Steven has in the show, and he goes, you're trying to get me fucking arrested. And she's like, that line is in my head when I wake up in the morning. It's in my head. Every time we hear the word arrested on TV, she's like, trying to get me arrested?
Trigger.
For some reason, it's that line that she heard the most.
How did you propose to her?
Just here. It was a quarantine proposal. Aww. We kept it super simple and safe. And,
that's sweet,
you know,
though.
This is our favorite place to be. And so, yeah.
I love that. Steven, you know, I have to ask you, is there going to be a Laguna Beach reunion with you and Kristen? A love reunion?
We had a reunion. We had dinner together
last year. I know. I texted y'all. Yeah. I was like, this looks fun.
I know. We were like, well, all three of us should get together. That was it was good to see her. And, and it's nice to have a friendship with her after all these years.
Oh, for sure.
We've got quite the history back there. So it's always good to see her.
I know. I love both of you. So it was cute.
Oh,
I'm like, I feel like, because you guys were so young then, you know, but I was just
the internet just lit up.
I was like, well, this is going to go crazy. Cause
you know what? It was like, it was nice to see that it was a positive reaction. I will say that, because after the extreme discomfort of my phone blowing up and having to turn it and you know, just having that kind of blow up much more than you ever would expect. It's nice that, you know, for me, it's, you don't really think too much about Laguna and the show, and for people to have like a positive reaction and to, I think, look back on the show fondly and kind of have memories of watching that and kind of rooting for these people on the show in a way. It brings them some sort of joy. That's cool. So
yeah, I love that.
Speaking of that, so right before we did this, we jumped on here with you guys on Jana's Instagram. We asked her followers to send some questions. And
still,
of course,
a lightning round.
It was a million questions, which I love it because 80% of them aren't even questions, they're just statements like James, marry me, Stephen, marry me, one of you marry me, I don't care who. Like it's unbelievable. It's so funny. They're just saying Oh, one of them said James was her hall pass.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
so yeah. Oh my God, James, will you marry me? That's
I told
amazing.
You.
Amazing. And then
Yeah.
How is
just
a
noises. You know, so I'm sure you guys have heard a million of these before. I'm trying to get some different ones, but one thing is, you know, a lot of people like to ask with a show like that, you know, what's, if you could narrow it down to one thing, what's the one thing you looking back, like you miss about it the most? Steven, I'll start with you.
With
One Tree Hill. Sorry.
With One Tree Hill. I miss Wilmington, North Carolina. It was a beautiful place. It was nice to spend time on the East Coast after, you know, I grew up on the West Coast. So, you know, I spent a good chunk of my 20s on the East Coast, and it was just a different culture. It felt like a little bit of a different country. So, you know, it was nice to get that perspective. And thankfully we actually went back to Wilmington to shoot a little bit for our show. So there's some pieces in a couple episodes, where one of the characters goes out to North Carolina, and we shot in Wilmington. So it was nice to get it in our show as well.
I love it.
Love it. James.
I think Wilmington for sure. Like Steven said, just fell in love with that place. Still love it. It's got a special place in my heart, but, also the people, the cast, that crew, there were so many folks on both sides of the camera that were there from day one, from, you know, shooting the pilot, and then, you know, to get to know people like that for 9 years is, the older I get, the more I realize how increasingly rare that is in this industry to be able to spend that much time working on something with people. So it was really special. Like, I'm just, I look back on that fondly because I realize how rare it is to have that experience, to get to know people for so long and to just settle in with them and do the work and sort of have another little family, you know?
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
Chocolate. A lot of it.
That works.
I like a lot of chocolate. That's like wine and chocolate, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Over quarantine. I mean, the amount of money I've spent on wine in the last year.
So just make a wine and have it be research, because that's what I just said. I'm like, okay, because I have a wine, so I'm like, it's all research. I drink
research. Do you have a wine?
Yeah, it comes out. Yeah, it came out.
Well.
It's awesome. I'll send you one.
You have my address.
I'll send you one too. Okay. Hello. Yeah,
Jana was like, you know, I drink a ton of wine. Why don't I just make my own and get high on my own supply?
Yeah. Like,
all right.
Brilliant.
Let's do it.
I'm questioning our friendship right now. The fact that you would, after like, the wine that we enjoyed in Wilmington.
That's true.
And what we had going through there, to then you created a wine and you wouldn't even send
I'm
me
going
a
to send to both of you. And congratulations of your everyone you know is what? Doing great.
This podcast is over.
Ayo. All right. So everyone, watch Everyone Is Doing Great, now available on Hulu. It's such a great show. I love you guys both. And thank you for just being so authentic and being awesome guys. We appreciate you. And I just, I'm wanting to maybe audition for season two. You know, if there's a season two, like hook a girl up. Alex Chase reunion. I don't know.
I don't think you're gonna have to audition for that.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you winding down with us.
Thank you.
First of all, love Stephen and James.
Like I said at the beginning of it, they're just great dudes. They're so genuine. How you guys hear them are exactly how they are. Very genuine, very nice. And I enjoy talking to anybody from that whole crew.
Like you said, they're great. And their show's Everyone Is Doing Great. Get it? It's on Hulu. It's really good. Watch it. Just on a side note, though, in one of the scenes, because you haven't watched it yet, but I was running on the treadmill and I was watching one of the first like two scenes or episodes, and I jumped on the guys. I saw that Steven and James were going live, so I just like jumped on the live. And in one of the scenes, Steven has to f*** the pillow. Like the casting director and the director are like, make love to the pillow. And he's literally humping a pillow, like in one of the scenes. And so I went on Steven and James's live. I was like, whose decision was it to f*** the pillow?
That's so good. Oh, that's hilarious.
But apparently it was like something that Steven was asked to do in an audition.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not to that extent, but like.
Oh my God, how uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I like when I was watching it, I was so uncomfortable. I'd be like, I don't care if it's Michael Bay. I'm not f***ing a pillow.
That's so uncomfortable.
I know. And he's like caressing like the head of the pillow. Like I couldn't. I don't care. I don't think I could do it.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's that. And like what, you know, as a casting director or whoever is in that room, what are they looking at when they're watching this person? Like, yeah, his hips are pretty good, or okay, let's look at his facial expressions, or like, what are they looking at? Like, what are they looking for?
I think it's a power trip, if anything. That's what I make.
I'm going to make you f*** a pillow.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I'd
sit around telling their other casting director buddies, I made this dumbass f*** a pillow. That's actually kind of funny. We got any emails, honey?
Yes. This one's from Tabitha. So my husband and I just found out we're expecting. Congrats. I'm only 4 weeks along. 2 days after we found out I was pregnant, my husband took the whole day off work for a 1 hour appointment. In my mind, he could have preserve those 7 hours for OBGYN appointments or time after the baby comes. I tried to explain it makes me nervous that he won't have as much time off available when we have appointments or when the baby comes. He got mad and said, my time off is my time and I'll use it however I want. In his defense, his job is stressful and he needs mental health days to stay sane, but a whole day for a 1 hour appointment? Am I crazy? I mean, I don't think she's crazy. Because it makes sense. I think the problem is women think more logical than men. Men just think what they need. In general. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm, but I think women are like, okay, like you have these many days off. Like you should probably take, you know, one day off while before I go into, like we're thinking like weeks and months ahead of guys. Like we're thinking like, okay, so you're gonna have to take a day off like when I go into labor, and like what if I have like, you know, a bad day, so then there's like 2 days, and then like, you know, a few days after the baby comes, and like, so like we're thinking way ahead.
Does he have paternity leave? If he doesn't, then he's wasting his days,
right? And so I'd get that you would be upset, and I'm happy that you said something to him. I'm sad that he responded with such a defensive statement.
Yeah. So first of all, they don't say it, but I can tell this is their first kid. And I think that's the thing. He's not used to really, you know, realizing that his time is not all his anymore. It's about to not be all his. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's just you and your partner, yeah, you sacrifice some of your time because you're spending it together, but we enjoy that. So it's not really sacrificing your time. But when you have a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Your time, that is your priority with your time. So he doesn't understand that concept yet, right? So to your point, she's thinking ahead when the baby's here, that she, you know, when she needs help, when she's got things going on, he's not thinking of it as like, it's my responsibility yet.
Right.
So and also in his defense, I don't know how Tabitha brought it up, not saying that she came at him hard about it. If she asked him from a good place and he acted that defensive, that sucks. But, you know.
I'm going to say that my girl Tabitha came from a really good place and didn't get mad at him and was just like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling frustrated because, you know, when I see that you took this whole day off. I make up that you don't care about me and you don't care about, you know, the days that will be needed for the baby. That's how I know Tabitha said it. I know she said it that way. And so
Well, and I appreciate Tabitha at least acknowledging his need for some time.
Yeah.
His mental health day. So it's just, you know, Tabitha, you're not crazy. You know, he needs to understand that his time isn't his time here pretty soon. Okay. Like the baby's a priority. So hopefully he'll come around to that and realize that. So just keep having the conversation from a good place and, you know, work it out.
Here's another one for you. I've been married to my husband for 5 years now, and we have two beautiful children, ages 4 and 1. Recently, with balancing our full-time jobs, daily chores, and two very needy and demanding little children, at the end of the day, I just want to crawl into bed. But I am also longing to connect with my husband, let alone go out on a date. It's hard to find time, alone time together, amongst the chaos of raising a family. I'm horrible at staying up late to watch a movie. I feel like our alone time needs to be specifically planned out, time, activity, because we sometimes spend 30 minutes talking about what we should do together. What advice would you give to those couples just trying to ride out the wave? Good question, Kara. Michael and I have a marriage calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically, I mean, it can change, but, you know, it's like Mondays we read a book together. Tuesdays we have our own time or some, usually actually Mondays we've, because you have therapy. So it usually has been like your own time, but like it changes. But we have like Wednesdays we'll do game night.
We try to have 4 nights a week that are typically planned on we're spending it together and what we're doing. So we have, yeah, like Jan said, typically Monday nights we read a chapter of this book that we're reading. And then we like maybe watch a show or hang out or play a game, whatever else we want. But we do that first. This is all after the kids go down. You know, Tuesday is we play a game after the kids go down. And then maybe we'll watch a show or hang out. Wednesday is intentional time. So no phones, no TV, no, you know, distraction. We just sit on the couch, maybe a glass of wine, and just talk. Find out what's new in each other's worlds. And then we try to do a date night, you know, one of the other nights. So we know that's not easy for everybody. You know, it's easier said than done, but it's just knowing what you're going to do, like you're saying, you know, Kara, or is it Sarah, you think?
She spells it C-A-R-A-H. I thought it was Sarah, but I'm thinking it's Kara, because car, C, right. Kara. I really thought that would plan that one out.
Well, to cover our bases, Kara, Sarah. Kara, Sarah, whichever one of those, we just want to respect you and your name. But yeah, so I would say try to schedule something like that and just be flexible with each other. It's like, hey, I had a long day. I'm exhausted. Can we just get into bed and watch something? Sure. But then knowing that there are going to be days where one or both of you are tired, but you committed to doing something different with each other.
And if it's just like start with just one day, start with just like, yeah. Hey, on Wednesdays, can we just have intentional time where we just on Thursdays, can we you know, on Monday, let's pick out the movie we're going to watch Thursday so we don't wait 30 minutes to figure it out. Like Michael's like, hey, we're watching this movie on this day, you know, together. So yeah, just it's tough, but just try to ask for what you need and try to plan it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Might help. You guys are awesome. We'll see you in Canada.
Later.